Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God wants you to keep a very close watch on your heart. Yes? God in His Word also speaks about the things we do and say. And this chapter of Proverbs itself speaks about that. About what you do, about what you say. There's always a danger as Christians that we only focus on those external things, the things that others can see and hear. They hear what we say, and if it's inappropriate, they might correct us. They see what we do, and that can all help keep us in check. We don't want to present badly to others. But nobody can see in our hearts, in what's going on there. The judgment of others won't make us feel guilty about what is happening in our hearts. But God says, keep thy heart with all diligence. And so this morning we're going to listen to the instruction of God's word in this text. Under this theme, God commands His people to keep a close watch over their hearts. And we will pay attention, first of all, understanding why this command is given. Secondly, what this command means. And finally, how this command is kept. How do we keep such a command? So God commands His people to keep close watch over their hearts. Now we pay attention to why does God give this command? And in the original Hebrew of this text, it reads this way, more than all other guarding, guard your hearts. And sometimes it's good to really unpack the literal sense. It helps you think it through. What does that mean? More than all other guarding, guard your heart. And the Bible speaks about other guarding too. I think of Adam. He was told to tend and keep, it's the same word, guard the garden. Abner, soldier in Saul's army, was part of his job was to guard Saul. That's what soldiers do. A shepherd keeps, guards, protects his sheep. So we read of different kinds of guarding. You guard, you watch over, keep a close eye on the things entrusted to your care. And we do that still today. You guard, you look after your families. You protect your house. You don't want thieves to break in and steal. You use security alarms, etc. Your possessions, your business. You don't want hackers to take away things you're building up. So we continue to guard various things today, and the Lord says to us, more than all other guarding, guard your heart. Keep a close look on it. And why is that so important, that we guard our hearts? Our text comes in the middle of a whole flow of thought. Certain flow of thought about wisdom. It starts in verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings. In other words, the instruction, the father, the teacher, passing on the wisdom of God's law to his children, students, it comes in through the ears. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Not that he has to have a written copy before him all the time of what he was taught, but it's almost as if he does. So you're always thinking about what I was taught, as if it was written out before my eyes, that I don't forget it. Keep them before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. So that wisdom must be brought in from the outside, through the ears, through the eyes, and then kept in the heart. And then verse 24, with that wisdom that you have inside, put away from thee a froward mouth. A mouth that's deceitful, or a mouth that's fighting, arguing, sinning. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids not look straight, let them look straight before thee. So don't look to the left or to the right to temptation. In other words, that wisdom in your heart then will guard what you do with your mouth. It'll guard what you do with your eyes, where you look. In verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be established. The wisdom in your heart will then also come out and affect how you walk, that you'll make sure it's in the right ways that the Lord teaches, that you stick to the right path. And then you see how the heart is central. Instruction comes in from the outside, goes in and is to be taken into the heart, and from there it then influences what we look at, how we talk, how we walk, how we live. From there, wisdom in the heart is to guide all the external expressions of a person. I think of the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 12. He says, Matthew 12 verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in the heart is going to come out. For out of the heart, our text, are the issues of life. And with that word, issues of life, we can think of the starting point of life. Proverbs 14 verse 27 makes a similar point when it says, verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Or chapter 16 verse 22, understanding is a wellspring of life. And where are the fear of the Lord and where are understanding kept? In the heart. That's why the heart is so crucial. It holds the things that lead to life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. You're probably wondering, what does it mean by life here? When it says in Proverbs 14 verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. One who does not fear the Lord, in other words, he won't depart from the snares of death. He will disobey God. And that means that you won't be living out of love for God or your neighbour, and instead you will pursue the passing pleasures of sin, immorality, greed, violence. And Proverbs, and it's always good to do that with Proverbs, to think about the opposite. Proverbs gives plenty of examples of how destructive for life sinful living is. It's destructive physically. You know, a man who is violent, who is always arguing, is likely to get into fights, get beaten up, even be put to death. It's damaging physically. Disobeying the Lord is also damaging spiritually. It corrupts the heart and leads to, eventually, if there's no repentance, everlasting damnation. So, walking in the fear of the Lord, honouring Him, keeping His commands, that promotes good living, a long life. A person who is loving, who's peaceful, won't be getting into fights unnecessarily. Good for life. And understanding that life is more than just physical life. Life in the true sense of the word. Life lived with true love for God and the neighbour, where things flourish. Because you know that the Lord is with you, that you can walk with a clear conscience before the Lord. You're not running away from Him. And you can live openly with your neighbour, not fearing that he's going to discover some kind of hidden wickedness in you because of your deceit. Out of your heart come the issues of life. And when there's the fear of the Lord, and when there's wisdom there and godliness, That's going to affect your life. It's going to promote well-being of life. Even physical well-being, but not always. Sometimes godly people, righteous people can die young. I think of the son of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the only one in the family in whom God found something good, and he died young. Sometimes the righteous can die young. But certainly, and definitely, and eternally, spiritually, it's good for life to walk with the Lord, to have that fear of God, that wisdom in your heart. It's going to be good forever. And that is why you need to guard your heart so carefully. And that then makes us need to consider, what does that mean? What does this command mean? Keep thy heart. Keep. That has the sense of guard, protect. Keep it free from what is not good for it. And preserve there in your heart the things that should be there. That's meant by keep. So what are our hearts? Well, our hearts, that's the place of our planning, where we make our plans. The heart is the place of our desires, our motives. You know how it goes. It starts in the heart. And the heart then has thoughts, desires, motivations that come out in words. Your heart makes plans that you can carry out with your hands as you do something, as you write something, as you make something. Your heart makes plans you can carry out with your feet. I'm going to go here, be there. Your heart makes plans that you can carry out with your eyes. I'm going to look at this or that. Keep your heart. Guard it against all the wrong influences. Those wrong influences will be temptation and sin. A couple of weeks ago, we read from Deuteronomy chapter 8 in the worship service. And that's that passage where the Lord warns His people about, He was teaching them in the desert by giving them water from the rock and manna. He was teaching them to trust in Him. And He wanted them to be ready for when they went into the promised land. And everything would come good, when they wouldn't be suffering shortages. And He wanted them to do the right thing. I'm just going to pick up on a few verses from Deuteronomy chapter 8 to show how it really starts in the heart. The Lord says to His people in verse 11, "Beware, when everything is going good in the promised land and you're prosperous and you're eating and drinking and enjoying a good life, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt." See it starts in the heart, that your heart will be lifted up and you'll forget the Lord, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna which thy fathers knew not. And thou'll say in thine heart, "My power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth." You see what's happening? The Lord says, when things go well for you in the promised land, and don't let your heart be filled with pride. And then you say in your heart, you haven't even said anything outwardly yet. You say in your heart, "This is my hard work. I can thank myself for my prosperity." If there's pride and self-sufficiency in the heart, that would lead to idolatry. That would lead to eventually God judging His people for leaving Him. See how important the heart is. And now, congregation, it's clear You don't need the devil and the world for evil to come into our hearts, do we? Even if we could be in an environment totally protected from the world around us and the ungodly influences and temptations, it's not going to stop sin. You think of Genesis chapter 6 when the Lord looked at the human race, and it stays that way after the flood. Every thought of the imagination of his heart was only evil continually. You think of Jeremiah chapter 17, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can know it? We don't need the world around us, the devil, to tempt us, to make us sin. It comes naturally in us, and we need to always fight against that. But having said that, the devil and the world do attack us to put evil in our hearts. And that's important. When we talk about guarding our hearts, it's important to guard against the evil that naturally comes up there. It's important to guard against the evil that's going to try to get in there. And the devil and the world will use the same path to get into our hearts as the path along which the good instruction should go. Incline your ears, your eyes, and so on. We heard that earlier in the sermon. They will use the same path as that which the good instruction should be coming in. And then it's for us very important to ask, what influences us? What kind of messages are coming into our hearts? What are you listening to through the week? What are the things coming into your ears when you've got a little earpiece, you're listening to something off your phone? What media? What kind of popular radio or movies? What kind of things are you seeing? What kind of podcasts are you listening to? What's influencing you? What's shaping you? What about advice from other people? What kind of messages are you hearing? And they're actually getting in. People at work, colleagues, friends. What messages are we taking in through our eyes? On our Facebook feed? Or social media? On the websites that we're looking at? What kind of messages are coming in for our eyes? How are we being influenced? It's amazing. The Holy Spirit inspired these words thousands of years ago. Before electricity, before so much technology, before the invention of the internet. But still so relevant today in the 21st century. Keep thine heart with all diligence. And I think you all will understand the power of the mobile phone. It's hard to resist the nudge when you have that buzz and there's a notification, there's some new contact coming in. What are you following? What is it putting in your heart? You know, these things are designed to keep you engaged, to make sure it influences your heart. These people who set these things up, they understand how to bait people, how to catch them, how to bring them in, to hold their attention. Is it putting evil in your heart? Are the things that are influencing you, are they putting envy in your heart? Is that an influence of social media on you when you think, why is my life not like his life, like her life? Why is my family not like theirs? Why does my home not look like the ones that I'm seeing on my friends posted on social media? Does it put pride in our hearts when we get lots of likes And we think, yes, we've got something to be proud of. And then we can look down on others who don't have it together like we do. Or do the things coming in, do they arouse lust in us? Let's never think we can absorb all kinds of unbelieving and ungodly messages and morals and not expect it to change how we live. It starts in the heart. And God says, above all other guarding, all the things you look after, and it's right to look after your things, your family, etc. Above all that guarding, guard your heart. And keeping your heart, guarding it, involves more than just removing evil influences from it. It also means that you make sure that what is good and important remains there in your heart. I think of the words of chapter 3 of Proverbs. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Write them upon the tablet of thine heart. Or chapter 7. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And there it's the law, the commandments of God. You know, Moses had to write the Ten Commandments on pieces of stone. And God says, write them, my will for your life, on your heart. In other words, have on your heart written the command of genuine love for God and for the neighbor. Genuine love for God and obedient worship. Genuine love for the neighbor, written on our hearts, really wanting, seeking their well-being. To have in our hearts written understanding, godly understanding and knowledge of God and His ways and mercy for the oppressed and mercy towards others. They're the things we need written on our hearts. And to do this, we need to live very close to the Word of God. We need to read the Word regularly. We need to study that Word. We need to be familiar with God's commands. What does the Lord require of us? But not just His commands. The law in and of itself doesn't change anybody. We need to know God's mighty deeds, that He saves sinners and that He changes them. So that we serve Him with reverence, leaning on Him, we need to meditate on His Word in a world that is filled with distraction. To give that some colour, we need to keep in our heart the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. So that when we are tempted by pride, tempted to make an idol of ourselves, it's that command of the Lord that warns us. Keep in our heart what God has said about His holiness and how particular He is about His worship. That will guide us to worship Him according to His words and not according to what we would like. And if we are quick to make sexually suggestive comments, it can be asked rightly, what's in your heart? And when envy and discontent are getting room in our hearts, when we're resentful of others, when we're not really happy that it goes well for others, or when we're pushing ourselves in one context or another to be part of the in crowd, rather than trusting God's providence and counting in your heart His blessing. We need to inscribe on our hearts God's word about protecting the reputation of our neighbour. You shall not bear false witness. And that's going to influence how we talk about others, how we talk to them. So brothers and sisters, having heard all this, let me ask you this question. How carefully are you guarding your heart? What sinful desires need to be uprooted from your heart? How busy are you writing God's word on your heart? Do you take the time through the week to read God's Word? Are you busy with that Word? Guarding the hearts requires that. To do that repeatedly. Do you keep your devotions to a minimum when you remember? Every now and again, and sometimes days pass and you haven't spent time in the Word? Or are you doing it regularly? Are you feeding from the Word? I think of the instruction in the Bible. The Bible calls itself food. You know, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. In other words, the Bible is like food. And how often do you eat? I'm sure it's regularly. If you don't eat, then you get tired, you need energy. We need to eat regularly. The Bible says the Bible is food. Do we also feed on the Bible regularly, even repeatedly throughout the day, like we need to eat? We read from Psalm 1 this morning. Blessed is the man who meditates day and night in the law of God. And then we don't just think of the commands, that's part of it, but also God's promises, His mighty deeds, knowing our God in all His fullness. And maybe we say, look, life is busy. I just don't have time to read and study God's Word. But do we have time for social media updates? And is that sometimes what makes less time for reading and meditating on the Word of God? And notice too, this is instruction from father to a son. And it's a reminder to parents how essential it is to teach your children to look after their hearts. Don't just be satisfied if your children do the right things and say the right things. Because that can sometimes satisfy us as parents. Well, my children are walking in the right ways. Externally it looks okay, I can be happy. But as parents, to say to our children, what's going on in your heart, my son, my daughter? Is there the love of God written there? Are you living for Him? What's happening in your heart? Have those conversations. Ask those questions. And when you see your children doing the wrong thing, don't just stare blind at that and only deal with that. Like, conform to this. This is how you should talk and this is how you should live. But make sure you aim for what is behind it. The heart that is driving it. My child, my son, my daughter, guard your heart with all diligence. The Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 20, he talked to the Ephesian elders, to the leaders of the church there, and he said to them, take heed to yourselves and to all the flocks, calling the church leaders to also pay attention to what's in the hearts of God's people, not just outward conformity, but also inwardly, doing the right thing. They had to take heed to the flock. And in light of Proverbs 4, that's going to include knowing the members and what is going on in their hearts. Keep your heart with all diligence. And that brings us to the final consideration this morning. How do you keep such a command? You've all got hearts. I'm sure you're all reflecting on what goes on in your hearts. How do you do this? How can we keep this command? Because our hearts are inclined to evil, aren't they? We go astray so easily. Of ourselves, we will not be able to keep this command to guard our hearts. Such is its natural sinfulness, and such is the attraction of the things coming in. And you look through the Old Testament, and you see it time and again. God's people did not walk in the ways of the Lord. Disobedience came natural. So that of ourselves, what comes out of our hearts would only lead to death, not to the flourishing of life. Living with love for God and in a good loving relationship with all our neighbours. We could expect, going by what comes out of our hearts ourselves, destruction and misery in this life. Broken relations, etc. An everlasting punishment for sinners. Lord Jesus, He spoke in Matthew chapter 15 when he was, I think that's when he was being told off for not washing his hands. And he said to them, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. They defile a man, said the Lord Jesus, and render him worthy of everlasting punishment. That's the scary thing when we know the corruption of our hearts and how easily evil comes up there. It's only going to lead to us being defiled and forever needing to be punished. That's our problem. Do you feel that, congregation? Do you feel? Do you see? Do you acknowledge the depravity of your heart? But already in the Old Testament, God promised to do for His people what He required of them. And this is the comfort of the gospel. God said to His people in Deuteronomy chapter 30 through Moses, He said the following, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. He said, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, thy children, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. God said, He would circumcise the foreskins of the hearts of His people. In other words, that evil that is there, God would cut it away, circumcise it, take it away. God would remove the uncleanness from their heart and guard them. That's God's promise to His people. He calls us to guard our hearts and He promises to work in our hearts. Isn't that beautiful? God said through Jeremiah, I will write my law on the hearts of my people. He will do what we cannot. And so we live in the age of rich blessing, the New Testament. And Christ has died for our sins. And as we reflect on the need for us to guard our hearts and how hard and even impossible it is for us to do that of ourselves, then think, congregation, of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a perfect man. His heart was perfect. There was no impurity or evil there. He was totally driven in His heart by love for God and love for His neighbour. And everything He said and everything He did flowed out of a heart that loved God and the neighbour. And that's the righteousness that He gives to us. As if we had never had nor done any sin. So that we sinners are before God as those who have perfectly kept their hearts. He's paid for all our disobedience with His terrible death. And He's poured out His Spirit on the church who dwells in our hearts. Yes, the command to guard our hearts remains. And we have the Holy Spirit who makes us know God's will and delight in it. That's something that's been promised to you in your baptism. That you were baptized into the name of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit promises to dwell in you, to change you, to work in your heart, that it's guarded well. And when you see evil coming up out of your heart, and until we die or Christ returns, that will continue to bring us low. Don't despair. But flee to the promises that you were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, that His perfect righteousness and His payment for all our unrighteousness, that really is for us. He cleanses us. He gives us His righteousness and He renews us. What comfort to people struggling to guard their hearts. Yes, the importance of guarding our hearts remains, and what's in your heart will influence the rest of your life. It will. But the Spirit is in those hearts who makes you willing and ready to live for God, who brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, of ourselves we wouldn't want to guard our hearts. So deep is our corruption. And we would pay eternally the consequences. But with the Spirit in us, we are able to live, truly live, in love for God and the neighbour forever. No, it's not perfect yet. Our hearts continue to pollute even the good things the Holy Spirit brings forth in us. But we will, with the Holy Spirit working in us, we will live forever. Not because we earn the eternal life that is coming, but it's this way. God puts into His own the Holy Spirit who changes them so that they do guard their hearts more and more. And it's those who are God's own who will also receive eternal life. The command remains. We have been given the Spirit so that we can begin more and more to heed this command. Guard your heart with all diligence. Ask God to do what He has promised. As the Lord Jesus said in some of His comforting words about prayer in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 verse 13. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? He'll give you the Holy Spirit. He'll work in you with the Holy Spirit more and more when you ask Him for that. Look to the Spirit to fill your heart and so live life to the fullest. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, work in us what you command of us, O Lord. Guard our hearts. Teach us to guard our hearts very diligently. Grant that we may indeed look after our hearts, that we may watch them closely, that we may be on the alert for anything that is not pleasing in them. Help us to realize that out of the heart go forth the issues of life, that being convinced of this, we may see the need to guard our hearts above all else. Father, we thank You that You do give us Your Spirit, that He has been poured out in our hearts. We pray that You will fill us with Your Spirit, that our hearts may be guarded by Your Word, that Your Spirit will more and more remove all that is impure from our hearts, and fill us with knowledge of Your will, and with the true fear of Your name. Grant that we may watch out very carefully as to what we let come into our hearts, that we may not expose ourselves to wrong and sinful influences through what we listen to, what we watch. Fill our hearts with true wisdom, that we may be guided in what we say, in what we look at, and where we go. Lead us on in the path of life, that with our hearts guarded we may live in love for You and love for our neighbour. Grant us diligence in teaching our children this too, that we may instruct them by example, when they see how carefully we guard our hearts. Grant that we may instruct the next generation with our words, teaching them the importance to guard their hearts, that they may learn to be guided by Your Word and law, written and inscribed on their hearts. Lord, bless us as Your people through Your Word. Hear our prayer and the forgiveness of all our sins and failings. Amen.